And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can go to our own website, which is www.nagb.org.bs. You can listen to the archive shows, so if you just tuned in, you can listen to the beginning, or if you listened to the whole thing and thought it was so awesome you want to listen again, you can do that too. You go to the education menu, scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you'll find all the archive shows. Tonight, I'm speaking to Thierry Lamar, who has an upcoming retrospective, which opens tomorrow night at 6:30 at the National Art Gallery, alongside the show in tribute to the work of George Cox, curated by John Cox, which is also opening tomorrow night. So it's going to be a huge knees up. We've got food and drinks and a band. So if you don't even want to come for the art, which you should, come to mingle and get to know the art. So art's not scary. It's lots of fun. And we're here talking about it. So you can learn a little bit about the show you're going to see. I have Thierry in the studio. We've been speaking about his work, which is really a sort of, it's like a love poem to the Bahamas is what it is. I mean, you spoke about first coming here and sort of your passion and, you know, the passion for the country and then the passion for your wife and everything to do with the culture. And I think it's, this show really is like you can't look at your work and not just want to live here and stay here forever.
Thank you. It's a great compliment.
So what's it been and what's been enjoyable for me? Because I've been able to get to know your work a little bit as, you know, I was coming home to visit my family and you always, you know, you sort of had a show every couple of years. My dad has a piece of yours that, I don't know, he probably bought about 10 years ago, that series of the guy with the nets. And so I've been able to follow the changes, but in a very kind of chopping and changing way. And I think it's the same for even a lot of people living here. So I think what's really extraordinary for me, again, is to see this accumulation of work. And to be able to really understand more closely the different changes it went through. But how's it been for you? Because, I mean, from like even owning works, because I collect, if I don't see them for a while, it's like I miss my family. You know, I need to, I miss my friends and family. So these are somehow your children, right? You've given birth to them.
Yes,
they are. And then they all go off into other homes and they're looked after by other parents. And now you get to see them all again. So how, what does that feel like for you? And how is it to look at work that's now 20 years old for you? Is it something that you sort of feel distant from or do you still feel very close to those works?
I still feel very close to the work. Obviously, I have a different eye, and
are you like, oh, I would have done that differently?
some occasion, but that's yes, that's you can't be otherwise. Mm-hmm. But no, I do also appreciate and go back in time when I say, oh yeah, I was doing those things like this. Because mm-hmm. I describe myself as a very, instinctive painter. Mm-hmm. I like to change, always try something different. Even if I have same palette, I will use it differently. Mm-hmm. Or I again was saying that I was changing my background, wood, canvas, paper. Mm-hmm. So all that creates new things, and I think that's how you learn and you learn to face a problem because every time you face problems.
Yeah, so because you have to change, like you spoke about earlier. If you suddenly start painting on wood after you've been painting on canvas or paper, it's a completely different, it has a different give to it. I would imagine the materials take differently, and so you almost have to relearn your process in a way.
Exactly, and again, that's what makes you progress and also keeps your creativity and strive alive. Mm-hmm. Because if you're always doing the same thing, it could be at one point, you know, I mean, for some people, they can do it. But me, no, I have to.
I think some people do it. But again, I think in a way, that's what separates great artists from good artists, because there are a lot of artists that find something that works for them and they just stick to that. And I think they might be able to make a career on that and because people like it. But I think in a way, that's what I think, to keep striving. And I think as humans, right, we always want to keep striving to the idea that we're OK just like we are.
Yeah, but
we should always be, trying to be better and changing.
Yeah, and also to keep the passion alive.
Mm-hmm.
To,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And there is, again, as you say, some people might be able to spend their life doing always the same thing. I mean, the same mm-hmm. painting or painting the same way. Or I can't. I have to evaluate.
Definitely you see that in the work. I think, you know, you spoke about the use of palette. The palette definitely changes. In the early work, it seems a little bit darker and sort of more saturated.
Yeah. Change the medium, change. I mean, my main mm-hmm. medium is still watercolor, but I learned to use it in
a different
ways.
Way.
In canvas and even wood. So you have to, I mean, you can't.
I can't even imagine how you would do watercolor on wood. That just sounds impossible to me.
It's more dry brush, dry brush watercolors, mm-hmm, but you mm-hmm. do have some wonderful steps where you do a nice layer of transparent watercolor, and obviously it will go in the wood or in the gesso because you have to prep mm-hmm. the wood, and it will go a different way than it was if it was on paper.
Mm-hmm. Of course,
but you learn all the things. Say, oh wow! Sometimes it's big mistakes. Oh no! And sometimes it's happy mistakes. Mm-hmm. Say, wow! Look at that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, and you can't even picture before. You have to try it and see how the support is going to react. Mm-hmm. And then say, oh,
so it's a bit like being
a mad
professor in your lab.
Yeah. It's a little bit of cooking, you know, but that's what painting is.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think one of the biggest changes that really struck a lot of people, and it's interesting because this also happened to another really great artist here, who's our chairman, Stan Burnside, in his work, which is, you know, your work was known to be sort of really very realistic and very colorful and very beautiful. But then you lost Ophelia. And that really changed your work dramatically in a similar way, even though, again, the technique's different, that when Stan lost Jackson, he also, there's literally this, you can't see the color anymore. Can you speak to really what that, because Ophelia meant, I think, more than anyone can probably understand to you, because it was this extremely close relationship.
Yeah, and she was a big part of my creative life for years. So suddenly you have to move on, and there are still paintings I want to do of her, and I will. But you also have to move on and find other subjects and move on emotionally, and I think that's the hardest. But it will happen, and it takes time. Mm-hmm. Is my work have differed? Not the subject, but the way I'm working. Maybe. I mean, I also in 2014 went back to my first love, which was drawing. So it was more mm-hmm. black and white. And
exactly, and the sort of use of grisaille. It seemed like you really experimented with not using color. And painting, and it did have this sort of otherworldly aspect to it. It did seem as though, you know, your own psyche had passed through a veil with Ophelia.
Yeah.
And you were sort of learning how to re-see again or, like, cope with that. Was the work a way to deal with the grief? Was that something that helped you to sort of take on the new challenge? And
yeah, maybe my reintroduction of color is different mm-hmm. Because of that. And I'm very more cautious with colors. That might change again. I might go mm-hmm. back to very bright colors. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm very subdued colors and desaturated colors. Mm-hmm. But that creates different body of work, and over a lifetime, I guess we'll see. Maybe you'll see in the show already a little bit of evolution in that.
I'm sure. Well, that's why I'm excited to see the whole show up together, because I think that's something that it's really such a blessing to be able to see, because all these works, they go off into different homes, and, you know, you maybe see them at the original show, and you see one body of work in one show.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 2 years later, 3 years later, you see a different body of work, but you don't get that opportunity to see the evolution side by side. So I think that's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, and what make it possible is because a lot of pieces are here mm-hmm. in Nassau, so it was already a lot of work to put it together. But I mean, if we had to bring pieces from all over the world,
I know, that would have been.
So maybe it would be the only time I see that in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So it's going to be like having all your friends together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, Ophelia is, I mean, she's so extraordinary because she always seems to look, even when she's out just crabbing, she always looks like a fashion icon.
Yes.
I mean, in a very
she
simple
had a great
way.
Wardrobe, which was actually a big part of my inspiration. Also, mm-hmm. she would come out with those things like, wow, those bandanas or jackets or dresses.
And jacket
she would
with a belt, like cinched up.
She would wear it on the farm. It's like, wow, that's different.
Did the community feel about her that way too? Did they think she was sort of quite not flamboyant, but
yeah, I mean, she's definitely a figure there in a little village of Seymour's, and that little church right across the street from her, you know, because it was a big part of her life, her, her faith, and her love for God, and she was quite a character.
She seems to see embodied all the. The good things that we like to claim as our Bahamianness, right? Sort of a great sense of humor and, you know, hard work.
Oh, yeah, and she loved to tell stories. She was telling stories all the time, and she had a good sense of humor. So you'll see there's a little movie there made by my friend Derek and his talented eye, and I think there's good footage that we took with Joey and so we see real footage of her, which I think will be interesting for people who never met her or saw her.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, or only know her through the paintings. So how do you, I mean, it must be very hard. How do you, I mean, I suppose you can't go about finding another muse, right? That's something that will just happen with time.
Yeah, no, it will happen if it has to happen. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I will have to find different ways of painting different things. But I'm still searching. I'm going. I went to Savannah Sounds, Elutra, because I really like Elutra, and I find an interesting man there that I'm starting right now. It's only sketches because I like to know my subject well. So I'm kind of. Learning how to draw him, because I think it's a process also, and it takes time. And the more you know your subject, I think the better you will paint him. So right now it's only drawings, some sketchbooks, but it will eventually turn into paintings. And I can start to see big paintings happening because he has a neighbor. So he's an older man. He's I think 83 or 84. And his neighbor is a younger man from Haiti, and they seem to develop a great relationship and friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like that, the old Bahamian, young Haitian, and they kind of help each other in some ways because he's Ernest cannot hear.
Mm-hmm.
He's deaf from when he was 6 years old. So I think they, I haven't spent much time there, but I already see a common help. Mm-hmm. They help each other.
Mm-hmm. A sort of a relationship of supporting each other.
So I'd like to paint that.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel sort of unanchored to a certain degree without a sort of, I mean, because certain themes drove you for so long. It seems like at first it was the architecture and there were the boats and then there were the characters. Is there a sense of searching now? Do you feel that in your work, or is it just a routine to like sit down every day and
oh no, you're always searching. Yeah. Always. I think it's part of the job. I mean, for me anyway.
Yeah.
Again, to keep the creativity alive, you know, for so many years. I mean, I can't remember where I heard that, but say a 40-year-old career creativity is already long.
Mm-hmm.
For
an artist. It is.
So I'm not quite there yet, but you know, you have to, you know, keep your creativity alive and
keep inspiring yourself.
Yeah, and remotivate.
And how much is just hard work? Do you have a routine? Do you just really force yourself to say every day spend X amount of hours in the studio, or is it just sort of as inspiration strikes?
No, actually, I had more of a routine before when I really had to work very hard. And now I'm allowing myself a little bit more freedom.
Well, because the kids are out of college now, right?
But the
pressure's off a little bit.
I'm very disciplined anyway by nature, I think. And I like it. I mean, it's not too hard because I like what I do. So.
Well, and also I think what's quite interesting is you make a lot of your own frames.
Yes.
Which is a sort of different than, I would imagine that's also got a sort of certain zen to it. Is that a way, is it a different kind of creativity that if you're feeling sort of blocked with the drawing or that you can go there and kind of work on, you know, with a lathe, with a, because obviously that's a different muscle,
it's like a
different
break,
creative muscle break. You're using.
Yeah, definitely. It's a little break from painting suddenly, and I... because I like to work with wood, and I found that wood that I find here and there beautiful.
Yeah, so you just collect them off the beach.
But I find it beautiful.
No, it's very beautiful. Well, I think actually it's also something because you think about what I see, you know, also with more younger artists, but with lots of artists, is they only think about the object they, the, you know, that they're painting or the photograph they're making, but quite often they then forget to think about the final product, which is the scale of it too. Because again, if you're making something digitally or it's a photograph, scale can be a really important factor. So I was making selections for the Jamaica Biennale, you know, we'd get these, again, these digital images, and it was like, okay, well, how big are you going to make this? How big or small? Because a work can have a completely different impact. And even when you're painting, I would imagine, because when people come to the show, there's some paintings that are huge, and there's some that are extremely gem-like. How do you yourself make that decision? But then there's also the framing, because I think a lot of great paintings are just ruined by a bad frame, and the artist hasn't thought it through to the end, right? They just whack on some, you know, fake Baroque whatever, and it just really doesn't do much for the painting.
No, so sometimes it's better to not frame the work.
Sometimes it's better to not
badly frame the work.
Yeah, exactly.
But I see my frame, I mean, they have a lot of character because the wood has a lot of character. But I don't add to it. I try to keep the raw version. Sometimes I take off because there's too much. Like when there's paint, for example, on some part of the wood, I take some of the paint off. I leave some little bits and pieces to accommodate the painting or complement the painting, I should say. But they do have a lot of character, but they are not overpowering, and they present the work, but they're there, but the frame, but you know.
So I mean,
sometimes people probably will notice the frame more than the painting.
Possibly, but I think it's actually now that we've spoken, I think it's interesting that from the sketch stage with the kind of texture of the paper and the handmade quality to the frame, there's something throughout the whole process that binds you to the land and to these old processes of doing things in a handmade way, and even the kind of texture of the wood. I don't want to say it makes you think of the old people in your paint, because you know, but again, there's a life that piece of wood has had, which also sort of has meaning.
Yes, I think I like the how do you say that, how time shaped things and on wood, on people, on whatever. It's interesting for me. It shows that there is life behind, and I like to paint life. That's why one of the words in the title is life, because I do like to paint life. I hope I will be remembered as painter who paints life.
I believe so. I believe you will. And I think when people come to see the show, they'll really understand again the depth of love. And, you know, respect and so many things that you have for the country and for the people. And I'm excited. We're going to actually go do a little walkthrough now. But until it actually opens, there's always still work to be done. So we'll all be seeing it really for the first time together tomorrow night. So just for the audience again, that is the retrospective of Thierry Lamarre. It is opening at 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. We are also opening a show called The Unseen Structure, which is a tribute to the work of George Cox, Bahamas' first black civil engineer, who oversaw the renovation of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And that show is curated by his son, who many of you will know, John Edward Cox, a great contemporary artist and former chief curator at the National Art Gallery. They're opening simultaneously, so it's going to be a lot of people and a lot of fun. So we really encourage everybody to come out and, you know, meet the artists, but also just show your support. I think it really means a lot to artists to see see how people respond and to see the excitement. So our openings are always free. So please just, you know, feel free. You do not need an invitation. People are like, oh, I didn't come because I didn't get an invitation. You're all invited. Everyone's invited. So just, you know, don't wait for that postcard to come, because you know the post office is going to get it to you in 3 weeks' time. So so just come out. And Thierry, I want to thank you so much for coming in this evening. And
you're
of course,
welcome, and
for the
you.
Wonderful work.
Thank you. Thank you to you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Very, very welcome. You have been listening to Thierry Lamarre on The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so very much for listening. See you tomorrow, and good night.